This morning it is World Communion Sunday. This is something that began by the Presbyterian Church in 1939. In 1940, the Methodist Church joined in with that before the United Methodist Church. And so it's been a long-standing practice, not only for these two denominations, but for others as well, that we observe this time of World Communion together. We all together are God's children, and we all together should be working together for His glory. And we're glad to celebrate that this morning. As we come together for communion today, we will be doing just that. Now, this morning we're going to look at some scripture that is the culmination, I think, of all that we have been looking at in the I Am statements of Jesus for these past 3 weeks. We've looked at the I Am statements. Now, to the I Am statements, I want to go over them specifically with you. There's 7 of them in the Gospel of John. And they begin in John chapter 6, where he says, I am the bread of life. And then in John 8, he says, I'm the light of the world. In John 10, he says, I am the door or the gate for the sheep. In John 10, also then he says, I am the good shepherd. In John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 15, he there says, I am the true vine. So those are the accepted 7 I Am statements of Jesus. And each one of them, this has a formula to it. Jesus says, I am invoking the very name of God. We call it Yahweh from the Hebrew, and in the Greek it's different, but in the Hebrew it's Yahweh. He literally called the name, and then he gave us a metaphor attached to that to explain how he is the great I Am. And so that's how we understand Jesus. Now, I'm going to read some scripture with you this morning that is a little different. You see, this is not part of the 7 I Am statements of Jesus, but you'll see that he did say I Am. The reason this is not is because there's no metaphor. There's no metaphor attached. He speaks plainly in this. John chapter 6, verses 47 through 63, says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. Now, folks, even though he does not say the words I am in there, that's exactly what he's telling us. Why is belief in him? Because he is God. Can I get an amen? And then he says, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Folks, just as we cannot be nourished in our bodies without sustenance, we cannot be nourished in our spirit without Jesus Christ in our lives and God leading us. Can I get an amen to that? I'm not going to do this for every verse, I promise. 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this be that a man gives us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, then you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true blood, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me, Jesus says. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware of his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God." Now, folks, this morning, as we consider this scripture, particularly in light of the Exodus passage that we looked at this morning, there's a couple of things that I want to highlight for you, and I'm just going to hit the highlights of this message this morning. First of all, Jesus proclaims that he is the true bread of heaven. Now, bread of heaven, the word that we use for bread of heaven is the word manna. Jesus is telling us that he is the true manna. Now, he's already told us that he is the truth and the life, okay? He has told us that he is the bread of life. He told us that just a couple of verses before this passage we read today, that he is the bread of life. Now, God realized that as the people, Jewish people were in the desert, that they were going to need food. And God provided that physical food for them in a miraculous way. People scoff at this happening. But I want to tell you, folks, this absolutely happened. Just as sure as I'm standing in front of you today, there was manna in that wilderness, and the Jewish people went out for years and picked it up fresh every morning. Now, there's a couple of things about this that I want to point out to you. First of all, this manna in the wilderness was given fresh every day. God gives us fresh food every day. Secondly, the manna itself, before the dew was on it, was not very appetizing at all. It didn't look attractive. Once the dew was on it, it puffed up, and it became something that was not only very attractive, but was palatable and easy to eat and digest. In fact, the Jews said when they ate it, it tasted like honey. That was the manna, the food from heaven, tastes like honey, they declare. And Jesus comes and says, "I am this manna. I am this food from heaven." And what he was saying, folks, he specifically told us in verse 63, this is spiritual truth that I'm giving you. He did not expect any of us to eat of his flesh. Genesis 9:3 tells us that it is not right for us to kill any other human beings. Leviticus, forget the numbers, tell us that we shall not drink blood, period. We shall not take it into our bodies at all. So when Jesus says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," he was certainly not talking about physical, because that would be inconsistent with what the word says, and he is never inconsistent. He then spoke very plainly, verse 63, "I speak to you in spiritual truth," is what he's telling us. Now, it is important for us to understand that he is this bread that we require for life and life eternal. Jesus daily wants us to come to him. Now, I want you to see this. As the Jews were in the desert, they had to go out every day and get their bread. All they had to do was gather it. They didn't have to kill anything, nothing like that. They just had to gather, and it provided them complete nutrition. And we're told that however much they gathered was enough. And then on the sixth day, they would gather a double portion, and it would be enough. On any other day, on the next day, what you gathered the day before was spoiled. It was sour, and they couldn't eat it. So you couldn't go out today and say, "Well, I would just gather enough for the whole week," or even tomorrow. No, it was for today. Look, Jesus is telling us the same thing. He says, "I need you to be abiding in me every day. I need you to be looking at the word every day. I need you not to look and say, 'Oh, well, I read two chapters yesterday, I'm off today.'" Doesn't work that way. Why? Because what we read yesterday was for yesterday. And God has something fresh, something new for us today, especially for us. Now, folks, I don't know if you've ever tried to read the Bible cover to cover. That's not really the way it was intended to be read. But if you've tried to do that, if you've done it, great. I've done it that way. And there's nothing wrong with it. But what I have found is, and as you're reading through the Bible and you're being very methodical about it, those passages that really you probably wouldn't gravitate to unless they were there and the next day you had to read them, right, to be able to get through. They speak to you throughout your life. You're doing something, you're having some relationship with somebody, or something comes up and you say, oh my, that applies here. How can something from the middle of Isaiah that I never thought was pertinent for anything be real in this? Look, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to us and showing us how all of God's word brings truth into our lives for the living. And we do that, and as we understand that, we grow. Now, something about this, and I want you to see, is that just reading the word is not digesting it. No more than just chewing the food is getting it into your body. You have to then swallow it. Well, as we swallow food, it goes out into our stomach. And in the stomach, it really doesn't do us much good. But as it gets then into our body, that food is broken down and it nourishes our body. And in my case, it sticks around a while. But that's good. That's good that it sticks around a while. You see, as we're eating the food that comes down from heaven, that food that Jesus brings us, we want it to stick around a while. You see, we want to be good, fat Christians. That's what we want to be, right? Fat on His word. That's where we need to be. And we need to understand it and put it to work for us. But look, we've got to digest it. And that means that more than just chewing it up, more than just reading it, like, oh, today I'm going to read my chapter today. I say, you go and you read the chapter, and you rush off and do something else. Well, now, folks, if that's all you're doing, all you're doing is checking a box, and we'll tell you it's not any good to you. Don't do that. If you find yourself in a rush and you say, oh, well, I'm going to rush today. I don't have time. But for one little verse, I know I've got a Bible over here. What has happened to me? Oh, there it is. I don't have time for my Bible. I'm going to rush. Oh, 34, Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. Well, look, I take that, and that's all I've got time for, okay? I've got time for the whole chapter. Okay, take that verse with you. Take it with you and think about it. You see, as we think about it, we begin to digest it. And then as you're going along and you're driving it to work or wherever you're going, and that slow poke in front of you that won't get out of the way and realize that you're in a real big hurry, right? And they're in your way, and they're holding you up. Instead of then going there, you remember, His praise will be on my lips always. Now, folks, I just randomly take that out of where the Bible opens. The Bible is so powerful that even if you just do that, it will speak to you. But it's not about the reading. It's about the taking it in, about the listening. It's about the digesting. And if it's only one verse, fine. I encourage you to read more, chapter, couple of chapters a day. Okay? But the regularity, the dailiness, and then the digesting. That means you got to think about it. God's word is not something that we can just gloss over. He wants it. He draws us into it. Somebody in the Bible study the other night said, boy, I've read, Second Timothy. Boy, I read Second Timothy at the time. I didn't know there was so much in two verses. We talked 45 minutes on two verses. Right? But that happens, okay? And that's the way God's word will unfold in your life, too, if you will consider. What does it mean for me to have God continually praise on my lips at all times? What does that mean? Does that mean that I'm supposed to be praising God? You know, even when I'm doing this? Even when I'm at work? Even when I'm standing in line at the bank? Well, that's what His word says. Okay? And what it means is, how does it apply to your life? How does God call you to apply? You might apply it differently than I do. Let me tell you, as you do, God honors that. But folks, Jesus Christ is the manna. He told us plainly, not with some metaphor. He said, I am this manna. He wants us to turn to Him daily, to look to Him, to be His children. And that's the only way we'll ever be able to be His church. If we're first His children, because the church is made up of His children, then we can serve God. Amen. and amen.